Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You're listening to a podcast from Washington Post Live, bringing the Post's newsroom to life on stage.
Chipotle Chair and CEO Brian Nichol joins Washington Post Live to discuss the path forward for restaurants and the state of the labor market as the recent surge in COVID-19 cases poses a risk to the economy. Let's listen.
Welcome to Washington Post Live. I'm Heather Long, an economics correspondent here at the Post. And today we're talking about the path forward for the restaurant industry. It was clearly one of the hardest hit during the pandemic, but we've seen a nice surge this spring and summer as people are eager to get out again to dine with family and friends. But challenges remain. We've got the Delta variant that is spooking some people. We've also got ongoing challenges with hiring and with supply chains and with price increases, especially for food. So to make sense of all of this, of these challenges and opportunities, we are excited to be joined today by none other than the CEO of Chipotle, Brian Nichol. Welcome to Post Live, Brian.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the Delta variant. It's on everybody's minds right now. I'm curious to hear, have you all seen any slowdown in foot traffic in your restaurants?
We have not seen an impact yet on the consumer showing up to restaurants. It's definitely, I think, weighing on people's minds, though. We're seeing in data, you know, probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, COVID seemed to be something that people felt was definitely getting behind them. Now it is definitely back in front of them, and hopefully more people take action on the vaccine front.
Yeah. And what about any change in hiring or in workers maybe being a little bit more reluctant to apply to your job openings?
You know, actually what we've seen is, at least in our company, and I think I'm seeing this broadly across the industry, is obviously as people have contact with COVID, you're seeing more employees being excluded from work. Fortunately, with all the incentives we've put out, as well as the wages and benefits and the career opportunity, we've kept a really good stream of candidates, both applying as well as then keeping our great employees with us. So we're not seeing a major impact on applicant flow or retention of employees. The impact we're seeing right now is exclusions just from people either having contact with COVID or they themselves having COVID.
Got it. And what about masks? Your company policy is for the employees to wear masks at all times, and it's recommended for customers to wear masks. Why not make customers have to wear masks as well?
Yeah, so obviously we want to make sure we've got the safety of our employees at the front, which is ensuring that they are wearing masks and we're practicing all the best practices we can to keep people safe from COVID. On the customer front, we are recommending they wear masks. You know, we're not looking for our employees to police people's behaviors on this front. You know, the sign's posted right in the front of the door. So when you walk through, it's pretty clear our preference is you wear a mask. Also, fortunately for Chipotle, a lot of our transactions happen, you know, pretty quick. So it is an order ahead through the mobile app where you just come in, grab your food and go. Or if you do go down the line, there is pretty good social distance between the employee and the customer that's ordering their food. And then most of the folks still are taking their food out of the restaurant. So we feel like there's a lot of things in place with all the practices we've been executing. Obviously, we still are recommending people wear masks, but we're not asking our employees to police it.
And what about, obviously, different policies, as you know, are in place in different parts of the country. I'm sitting here in Washington, D.C., where we are now required to wear masks indoors again, including at restaurants. How has that been for you to have to adjust to all these different policies as this Delta variant rises again?
Yeah, look, it's tough, especially when you've got restaurants in just about every state and every county, and those rules continue to move around. But we've got a great team. We have a task force that has been in place for the last 18 months, meets just about every day, twice a day, ensuring that we are following all the local rules. So it's kind of a moving target, but luckily we have an organization of people that are flexible enough to stay in front of it. And then we've got great communication channels with our team members at every restaurant, so that we ensure people are following whatever the latest direction is.
But would your preference be to have masks back in the way that Washington, D.C. is requiring it across the country?
You know, my preference would be everybody gets vaccinated and we move on. That would be the ideal scenario here. And I know people have to get to a certain level of comfort in order to step forward, I guess, and get the vaccine. But I think it continues to prove that the vaccine is effective. It's definitely got less risk than getting COVID. Based on everything I'm reading and the people I get to talk to, I'm not an expert in it, but I try to be very well informed. So hopefully where we get to is a really good place in the vaccination rates, and we can get back to, socializing the way we used to socialize.
Yeah, speaking of vaccines, you all generated a lot of buzz in July when I think it was an incentive for customers to get vaccinated with your burrito, buy one, get one free if you're vaccinated. Certainly that was popular. I'm curious, are you all planning to require your employees to be vaccinated? We have taken that step at the Washington Post, given what you've just said about the importance of vaccines. Will you take that step for your employees?
What we are waiting on is for the final approval for the vaccine. And then where I think we're leaning towards is in order to be able to come back to the office, be able to come together in big gatherings, which, in not too distant future, we bring together 4,000 employees for an event. In order to attend that event, we're going to have everybody vaccinated to ensure it's safe. So once the vaccine gets to approval, I think it just gives us a lot more, latitude in ensuring that every employee is vaccinated before they can come to the office, before they can come to large gatherings. And our company, obviously wants everybody to be safe and be doing the best thing possible for their health and well-being.
So it sounds like you anticipate it will happen at some point, but no immediate plans.
I think that's exactly right.
Can I ask about New York City? They've taken the step now of saying that they want people to be vaccinated, and that in order to even go to a restaurant or inside a store, by the middle of September, you would need to have at least one dose of the vaccine. Is it feasible? You've talked about you don't want your employees to have to police masks. Is this feasible to have your staff or somebody at your restaurants and stores doing this?
That's a great question. Obviously, this just came out pretty recent, and we're working through how we actually comply with this. Obviously, we will do everything we can to comply. We're trying to figure out if there's a technology solution for this. What is going to be the path to ensure that customers that are coming into your restaurant are vaccinated? We have solutions that we can put in place to ensure that all our employees that are working have at least one dose or have taken, the other mitigating factors into place so that they are safe to work. I'm assuming as this law gets figured out, you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do. People that just medically can't take a vaccine or have a reason why they can't take a vaccine, we can't just exclude them from working. There's still more to be figured out on this, but it's not going to be a very simple execution. And I think we're going to have to figure it out. It's going to be tricky though.
And does it feel like you're able to, I don't know, negotiate and talk through these issues with the city of New York? Or are they being understanding in what you're saying and solutions that you and others are proposing?
You know, I've not had a chance to talk to anybody that's involved with this. Obviously, we have our folks that are reaching out to hopefully provide feedback. And I'm hopeful that they'll take our feedback so that we can get an outcome that is executable and repeatable. Does us no good to put something in place that can't be executed.
Yeah. And it sounds like it would just be too onerous to have somebody standing at the door, sort of checking people's cards or photos of their cards. I was just at Shakespeare in the Park in New York, and that's what they did. They had an employee that was sitting there.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, that could be the simple solution is we're just gonna have to put somebody at the door. You know, the thing that's interesting is not all restaurants have that person, you know, a hostess or, you know, someone that greets people at the door. So we'll have to figure out who that position would go to. And if that is the path forward, what is going to be the piece that people need to show so that we know it's valid? So there's still a lot of things to figure out. It's something that is going to require some thinking if we want it to be truly executable.
Yeah. I'd like to shift gears and ask you about supply chains and inflation. We just saw the latest inflation data this morning. You know, certainly prices are high, especially food prices. Food at restaurants up close to 5% over last year. And you all have raised prices, I believe, about 4% this summer. You know, are you still struggling with getting any of the supplies that you need right now? I was just at a Chipotle a couple of weeks ago, and they ran out of guacamole. It may have been a temporary thing, but there was certainly some rioting in the line. You know, are you seeing any supply chain issues right now?
You know, look, the supply chain is still tight. What we're dealing with more than anything else, frankly, is that a lot of our suppliers, they're still struggling with staffing to, you know, basically pull together the goods that they then need to provide us. So whether that's, you know, chicken or, you know, packaging avocados, you know, we're seeing, fortunately for us, no shortages, but we do continue to hear there's a lot of pressure and people are doing everything they can to ensure companies like ours don't run out of products. But we're definitely not past this discussion where, you know, it's a weekly conversation to figure out, okay, how do we keep our supply chain going? We don't want to run out of any products. I'm sorry to hear we were out of guacamole. That sounds like that was more of a store issue than a supply chain issue, though, would be my guess. So, you know, freight is still tricky and getting workers is still tricky. And while that continues to go, it's going to continue to be a tight supply chain.
Yeah. Can I ask directly, are you anticipating any more price increases this year for your company?
You know, we don't have anything planned, but obviously we are keeping a close eye on what is happening with all of our costs. And then subsequently we'll take action if we need to. You know, fortunately for Chipotle, we have a really good value proposition. So we do have pricing power. So if we needed to pull that lever, we feel like we could. I'd prefer not to. You know, I'd love to find other places to offset the costs so that we don't have to impact ultimately the purchase price of our burritos and bowls. But, you know, sometimes there comes a point where you have no other lever to pull than the pricing lever. And nothing's planned right now, but we'll see how the rest of the year unfolds. Yeah. One thing I know for sure is everything is continuing to be unpredictable. So
that's right. I was struck by a comment that you made recently that you and your executives, you saw very little resistance to the price increase. Basically, people didn't shout at you or didn't, you know, sort of react super negatively. Was that surprising? Were you anticipating a little bit more pushback?
You know, look, nobody likes pricing to go up. But fortunately, as I mentioned, we have a great value proposition. When you look at the customization, the quantity of food that you're able to get, and then the quality of our food, people realize it's a heck of a value when you're buying a chicken burrito for less than $8. And so, yeah, we had to take the prices up. But for the most part, our chicken burrito, with the exception of maybe like Washington, D.C. or New York City, some of the higher cost markets, still is below $8. So it's still a tremendous value. That's why we didn't see really major resistance. You know, and we do everything we can to keep it a great value while not giving up on having food with integrity and, you know, pushing our food ethos forward. So people appreciate it. And I think they really like the fact that the food's delicious and they can feel good about the food that they're eating.
I'd like to ask you about wages. Your company made a lot of waves earlier this summer when you increased the average pay to $15, so up about $2 in many parts of the country. What happened after you raised those prices? The wages.
Wages, yeah. So, you know, look, one of the things that was clear to us is the business was just responding as COVID requirements were being lifted. Okay. And our current employees were getting overwhelmed by the amount of demand they were dealing with. And we were having a hard time attracting new employees to start working. And what we didn't want to have happen is we burn out our existing employees. So, you know, we've got great benefits, right? We have debt-free degrees. We've got mental health benefits. You know, we've got a great purpose for our employees. But one thing that came back was, hey, look, we need to increase wages if you want to get people to come back to the restaurant industry for a myriad of reasons. And when that became clear, we decided to move the wages up to be on average $15. And fortunately, the combination of that starting wage was very compelling, the great benefits, and then the opportunity where in like 2 or 3 years, you can find yourself running a Chipotle restaurant making over $100,000. That resulted in a lot of people applying and a lot of people getting hired. And also, really importantly, it took a lot of the pressure off our existing employees. So it made their job much more tolerable.
As you noted, the average is 15. Some employees earn less than that. I believe 11 maybe is your bottom point. Why not take everybody to at least 15?
You know, I think what'll happen is over time, wages will continue to rise. But what we always look at is the marketplace, what's competitive to get, you know, the starting employee that we need. And that varies by market. You know, in markets like New York City and D.C., we're paying well above $15 as a starting wage. So we always want to be competitive. What we find in the market is we're usually the leader, and we like that position, and we'll continue to be a leader in wages as well as total opportunity. And that's what really matters to the employee. What we hear over and over again is they want a great opportunity to start and where that opportunity can lead them to. And so that's really the path we've been on.
As you likely know well, President Biden has been vocally supportive of a $15 minimum wage. Would you support that nationwide, or would you have concerns about that number?
You know, look, if that's what ultimately needs to be done, fortunately for us, I think if we stage that in the way it's been staged in a lot of other, communities or, counties, it's definitely something that can be executed. It's hard to just throw a switch, though, and change wages to a new minimum wage that moves, in a dramatic fashion. But if that's where we need to get to in order to ensure employees have a great experience, we'll figure out how we get there. We've always figured out how to invest in our people, and we'll continue to do that.
And what about, are your referral bonuses, I believe it was about $200 at one point, are those still in place, and have you done any retention bonuses?
So our referral bonuses are still in place. And, actually it's one of those things that we've always had a referral bonus program. We just didn't probably market it as aggressively as we should with our employees. So we just ratcheted up the communication so they understood that existed. And then we always have for our employees a quarterly bonus. So that's not a new program. And even during COVID, we honored paying out all those quarterly bonuses. We thought it was the right thing to do for our employees. They were performing in a big way, even though our results weren't what we initially set before we knew we were going to be dealing with COVID in 2020. And, obviously we're trying to set targets in 2021, anticipating where we think COVID will be. So we continue to pay quarterly bonuses, which is a big incentive for our employees. And obviously, everybody loves to get a bonus.
I'd like to switch gears and ask you about innovation. It's pretty remarkable. I think in your last results, you were talking about half of the orders coming through in a digital format, either through your apps or your channels or through like a DoorDash. You've also innovated with Chipotle Lanes, the drive-through type concept.
Yeah.
How much of this do you think sticks around, or is it likely to fade as people maybe return to walking in person?
Yeah, look, I think it's here to stay. And what we've seen as our business reopens, our dining rooms reopen, people get back to, kind of their daily mobility. We're definitely seeing increases in our lunch dining room business. But, the access that we've created with digital is very convenient. It serves different occasions. And what we hear from consumers is they love that access for those occasions and the convenience, customization, and quality of food for those occasions. So I think it stays. Probably the absolute percentage will change, but the absolute dollars I think will hold and will just keep growing from here. Consumers continue to tell us they want, additional access, whether that's more physical restaurants or more access from our physical restaurant.
Another potential change we're seeing is obviously the Senate just passed this infrastructure bill that was much lauded in a bipartisan way. There's now debate on a second sort of infrastructure or budget reconciliation package. Part of that would require an increase in corporate taxes from maybe 21% to 25 or 28%. Chipotle, you all have been very open that your tax rate went down after the 2017 tax cuts. Would you be okay or support going to 25 or 28, or would that be a real concern for you?
We are pretty much a U.S. company. So all of our restaurants, we have, 2,900 restaurants. We have about 25 restaurants in Canada and a dozen restaurants in between France and the U.K. Obviously, we've always paid taxes in the U.S. We'll continue to pay taxes in the U.S. If it does increase, it will have an impact on, obviously, some of our earnings, and we'll manage accordingly. One of the things that we've continued to say is whatever the policy may be, we'll figure out how to continue to stay true to our purpose of cultivating a better world and bringing people food with integrity. Obviously, when the tax rate got lowered, we benefited because we're predominantly a U.S. company. If the tax rate goes up, it'll have a little bit of an impact on our earnings. But we're going to continue to grow just the same way we've always grown. We'll continue to stay after making great burritos for people really quickly. It doesn't change what we do, and we'll plan accordingly.
So it sounds like you don't think it would be too much of an anti-competitive measure to go a little bit higher if they decide that that's the right policy.
Yeah, I don't see it as an anti-competitive issue for us. Our business is not like everybody else's. We're a company with no debt and a really strong balance sheet, and we'll continue to perform. That's what we'll do.
I wanted to ask you about workers. You mentioned that many of the benefits, not just the rising pay, but the mental health, which has been huge, obviously, lately, that you all offer some 401k, some education benefits that are certainly helping to attract younger and probably mid-career workers. But your company has also been had a few pretty prominent lawsuits. There was the 10,000 workers who sued the company in 2016 for wage theft, where they weren't being paid fairly. And more recently, the city of New York has a lawsuit against you all over the Fair Work Week law, where people, they say your company is not, it's not scheduling people properly and giving them enough advance notice. What changes are you making at the company to ensure that workers are treated in the way that you want to see them be treated, that their schedules are laid out clearly, and that they are certainly getting paid for the time they put in?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Every employee at our company that works for Chipotle, we want to ensure they get paid for the time they work. And we also want to ensure that the job they have is a great job that not only gets them trained and, you know, demonstrates they have the ability to be successful in their role, but also sets them up for potentially where their ambitions take them. So, you know, that's what we're focused on. We're investing in technology. We're investing in, obviously, the right standards and practices and training to ensure that all the different regulatory environments we comply with and that our employees have a great work experience and they get compensated accordingly. You know, there is no magical trick to this. We want to hire great people. We want to compensate them effectively, and we want to see them grow with our company. It's that simple.
And I guess, do you think that the New York City lawsuit is not correct, or do you think there's some merit to what they're saying?
Well, look, I think, first of all, what we want to do in New York City is we want to hire great people. We want to have them have schedules that they can work. If they need to change the schedule, you know, we want to give them the flexibility to change the schedule, and we'll figure out how to, you know, comply with the law. We're going to follow the law. That's always our commitment. And, you know, what we want to do is we want to employ people that want to work at Chipotle. If they don't like working at Chipotle, obviously they have the ability to, you know, leave our company. But I prefer to give them a great work experience, a great culture, so that they can, you know, start with us, grow with us, and hopefully really be proud to be a part of our company.
And lastly, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about a number of popular menu items. I'm curious, though, to hear, what's your typical order at Chipotle? Are you a bowl person, a burrito person? What's your order?
Yeah, so I usually go with the bowl, and I'm a big fan of our barbacoa. You know, I just think it's terrific, and our carnitas. So I kind of bounce between a barbacoa bowl and a carnitas bowl. I just think they're just spectacular.
And what about some popular menu items? I tried earlier this year your cauliflower rice, sort of a new rice substitute to be more keto friendly, I guess. Are we going to see that come back, or was that popular?
Yeah, that was really popular, and you will see us bring it back. You know, we've done various innovations, right? Whether on the menu, you know, carne asada, the cauliflower rice, we brought in a new blanco queso. So it's been really fun to be able to, I think, extend the menu. Most recently, we did the quesadilla for our digital business. And people, you know, find their favorites. And we're always pushing ourselves. We want to be a leader in culinary. As much as making sure that we're doing the right thing for culinary.
And I guess any other upcoming menu items people should be looking out for this fall?
You know, I think we've talked about, we've been testing this smoked brisket, and it's really fabulous. So it's gone through our innovation process. It's validated. So, you know, I think in the not too distant future, we'll be bringing smoked brisket out for everybody to give it a try.
Well, that does sound pretty yummy. Brian Nickel, thank you for joining Washington Post Live today.
Yeah, great to be with you guys. Take care.
As always, you can find more programming and our list of upcoming events at WashingtonPostLive.com. There is a great lineup for August, so whether you're at the beach or stuck in an office or a home office, there is a lot to delight, entertain, and inform you on Washington Post Live. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for listening. To hear more interviews from this series and other Washington Post Live programs, visit us at WashingtonPostLive.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.